Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. God's will is that we always triumph and overcome obstacles and issues that come up in life. In order for that to happen, you got to have faith. The Bible said faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And also, you got to have perseverance. Mm-hmm. King James calls it patience, but it's the word for perseverance, which means you don't quit.
Right?
Right? You keep after it. You keep looking. You keep believing. You keep trusting. You keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And you'll find if you'll do that, looking to God, holding on to Him, even if you are so clueless you are in the wrong county from where you need to be, just don't give up. Don't quit. Is that right? And go, Lord, it don't feel right, but I'm staying with You. I'm with You all day and all night. Show me, show me. He will show you. He'll help you. He'll hold you by the hand.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And He'll get you to the right place.
Yes.
So don't quit. Don't give up. Father, we pray that everyone under the sound of our voice would be encouraged and strengthened and comforted today, because You are the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy to 1,000 generations of those that love You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You that You are not unrighteous to forget the prayers of our mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, great, 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 great grandmothers and grandfathers, and all that have gone before. We call You faithful.
Yes.
Open our eyes. Give us answers today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As we've been talking about earlier this week, the series that we're on is called Faith for Provision. We're giving one after another 30 reasons why we are sure, abundant provision is always God's will for us all. I'd like to hear you say that. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Always? Every day?
Yes.
Every week?
Yes.
All the bills paid?
Yes.
All the needs met?
Yes.
Always.
Yes.
Now, I know not everybody believes that, but there is confusion. And we're down to reason number 18 in our study of our 30 reasons why we're sure abundant provision is always God's will. And that's because we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, we saw number 17 reason was the blessing covenant, covenant of blessing, the blessings of the covenant. This is the other side of that. Well, what if you didn't keep the covenant? What if you were not smart and you were hard-headed and you were disobedient and you were rebellious? Well, then you get the curse. And the problem is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So guess what? Everybody was supposed to wind up in the curse. But, we saw Galatians 3:13 that said Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, because He was made accursed in our place. So go back to Deuteronomy 28. We need to understand, if we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, what is the curse of the law? What is it? So that I won't let the enemy put something on me that I've already been redeemed from. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, he said, it'll come to pass, if you'll not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all His commandments and statutes, which I command thee this day. And the way we fulfill that under the New Testament is by walking in faith, while keeping the love commandment, and being led by the Spirit. If we will do that, we will do the things that all the law and statutes were given to direct. You couldn't tell these people under the old covenant, you just need to walk in love. They didn't have the love of God shed abroad in their heart. They're not born again. You couldn't tell them, well, the main thing is to be led by the Spirit every day. They couldn't be led by the Spirit every day. Only certain people, like the king and the prophet, had the anointing on them, and that was on them to do a job. They weren't born again either. But today, we got a better covenant.
Yes.
Established on better promises. And a big part of why it's better is that God is not just with us. He's in us. Oh, hallelujah. In us. That's what the Bible says. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And He wants to, He will, if we'll look to Him and listen to Him, guide us, lead us. Jesus said when He comes, when the Comforter comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will teach you everything. He will bring everything to your remembrance that I've said to you. He will show you things to come. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. But see, that wasn't available back then. But that's how we fulfill, instead of saying, keep all of His commandments, keep all of His statutes, all of His ordinances. Well, we don't try to do that. We look to walking in faith, keeping the love command, being led by the Spirit every day, and we know that if we'll do that, he that loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law, the Scripture said, right? If you'll be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, Galatians said. But still, we have our part to play. And if we will do that, then it gives God a right to keep us out of the curse and to keep the blessing working in our life. He said, cursed will you be in the city, cursed in the field, cursed your basket, your store. We read this earlier. And it said, the Lord will send upon you cursing, vexation, rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you be destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings whereby you have forsaken me. Now, one thing that you'll see in these verses, it says like verse 22, the Lord will smite you with consumption. Verse 25, the Lord will cause you to be smitten. Verse 27, the Lord will smite you with the botch of Egypt. Verse 28, the Lord will smite you with madness. Verse 35, the Lord will smite you in the knees. How are we to understand this? If we say God's a good God, if we say God's not the destroyer, He's not the evil one, well, He's saying that, it said the Lord will smite you. Go with me, if you would, to Exodus, the 12th chapter. This is an important point to look at. Do you remember the account of Job?
Yes.
And how that the enemy came before God and accused Job? And what he's saying in Job, this was Job 1:11, don't turn there, but he was saying, Lord, put forth your hand and touch him. He'll curse you to your face. And verse 12, the Lord said to Satan, he's in your power. Well, yeah, but he's trying to say, Lord, you touch him. Well, then the Bible said in verse 12, Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, and you see he caused storms. He caused people to come and attack them and rob them and steal from them and kill them. Well, who's doing the stealing and killing and destroying? It's the devil. It says it specifically. The next time it said, even after that, the enemy accused Job again and said, telling God, put forth your hand and touch his bone and flesh. He'll curse you to your face. And the Lord said, he's in your hand, but save his life. What you see is God limiting the enemy. Can you see this?
Yes.
Where the first time he said, he's in his stuff and his people's in your power, but don't touch him. And the next time, well, yeah, but don't take his life. Mm-hmm. And a limiting. But then it immediately went, verse 7 said, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils. So who did it?
Satan
did it. When we see phrases like, under the curse the Lord will smite you, what we must understand is that this describes the righteous judge of all the earth passing judgment that allows the destroyer access.
Right.
Can you see this? It does not please God.
Right.
It is not His will,
right.
Not His perfect will, not His plan,
mm-hmm.
But He's the righteous judge of all the earth. And if, let's say, a human judge is over a case, and they probably wouldn't let him do this, but let's say one of his children is the accused of some, you know, crime that's capital offense. Well, if he's a good judge, what will he do? Huh? Even if it's his own child and he loves them, what if, you know, his son takes the witness stand and they say, you've been accused of killing this guy. And what do you say? And he says, oh, I killed him, all right. I mean, I hated that sorry rascal. Is that right? And I shot him in the head and killed him, and I'd do it again. Well, what should a righteous judge do? Come on, help me out. Even if he loves this person, right? If he says, yeah, I know you're guilty, you've confessed to the guilt, and the law says you should die, but I'm just, forget about the law, forget about right and wrong, I love you too much. This is not a righteous judge, huh? And this is what we got to understand. God, our Father, is the righteous judge of all the earth. He won't pervert justice for anybody.
That's right.
It doesn't matter how much He loves you. He won't do something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He won't do something that's not right, that's not fair, that's not just. It's why Jesus had to come. Because God could not bless sinful, rebellious human beings. He couldn't bless them like they were obedient.
Right.
Huh? He couldn't treat them like they're not guilty.
Right.
The wages of sin is death. What is He going to do? Just say, forget I said that?
No.
He can't. He can't. But He had a plan.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. He had a plan. And He was willing to send His own Son.
Yeah.
Oh, glory to God. And His Son was willing to go.
Yeah.
And take our place. The price had to be paid. The penalty had to be paid. But with God, He allowed somebody else to pay it.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. And in so doing, Christ redeemed us from this curse. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
He redeemed us. Look at the language here in Exodus 12. This was when the firstborn all were killed and died the night before God's people broke. It was kind of the last blow to the Egyptian empire. And God had warned them about this from the beginning. He told them this would happen if they didn't listen to them. But notice verse 12, this is Exodus 12:12. God said, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land. Verse 13, the blood will be a token on the houses. When I see the blood, I will pass over you and the plague will not be on you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So He's saying very clearly here, I'm smiting. Now look at verse 22 though. You'll take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that's in the basin, strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that's in the basin. none of you will go out the door of his house till morning, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. When he sees the blood upon the lintel and two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will what? Not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. So who's actually doing the destroying? The destroyer. Well, why did God said, I'm doing it? Well, you got to understand, if the Lord had told them clearly who the devil was and what he was doing, they would have immediately built temples to the devil. I'm telling you, they would have. They didn't have authority over the devil, but they practiced the same false religions as the heathen. And one of the biggest things they were doing was trying to appease the gods, right? Yes. To keep them from destroying them. And so they don't need to know. Huh? They don't need to know about the devil and who he is. They haven't got any authority over him anyway.
Right?
Right? Yes. And they're already worshiping everything under the sun. Including the sun. It's true. And so if you look at the book of Job, you can, in fact, at one point, Job in his distress, he's saying that God is doing all this to him. And he didn't think it's fair. Doesn't think it's right. And at one point he said, if it's not God, well, who is it? See, he had no clue. Can you see this? He had no clue. Now, in the New Testament, we're given information. Is that right? About the devil, who's doing it. He came to steal, kill, destroy. We're not ignorant of his devices. We're even told about principalities, powers, all of that, how to resist our authority in the name. Why? Because we have authority over him. We can shut him down. We can bind. We can loose. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. But I'm just going into some detail when the Bible, when the Lord said, I'm going to smite this or that. He's not the killer. He's not the destroyer. What is he? You know, if the human judge, pronounced a guilty verdict and sentencing, does that mean he doesn't care about the individual? Does it prove that's what he wanted? No, he's a righteous judge. He has to do what's right. Did God, from the time Adam and Eve fell, he wanted them restored?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, there was no time that he did not want his man, because he created us to be family.
Yes.
Not like the angels, not just servants. We're called sons and daughters of God. Whew. And so he could not just take us to himself and pour out his blessing on us. He would have been wrong. As the righteous judge, for blessing us for disobedience and rebellion. And how could he pronounce judgment on Satan and his crowd? Can you see that later on when they would say, how can you judge us? What about your precious man? Right? He sinned, he fell, and you ignored it? He couldn't. So there had to be the price paid, redemption made for him to have. And it has to be on our end that we respect this and we believe it and we receive it. Amen. Then he has a right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He's righteous in blessing us.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And so when we read about the curse here in Deuteronomy 28 or any of these other places, anytime it says the Lord will smite, what he's talking about is the Lord passes judgment that allows the destroyer access. Does it please God? No, it grieves him. It grieves him. In fact, put this on the screen too. You don't necessarily have to turn there, but in Hosea, the 11th chapter, Hosea 11:7, he said, my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. God has seen so much rejection over generation after generation. Let him see a bright spot.
Amen.
At your house.
Yes.
Is that right? Where you say, God, I will exalt you. The rest of this confused, lost bunch do what they want to. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will bless the Lord. Lord, I exalt you. You are the only God, and you are my God, and I praise you. Verse 8, he said, how shall I give you up, Ephraim? See, judgment is pending over them right now, if you read this writing. Terrible things, like are mentioned in the curse of Deuteronomy, exact same things, are coming on his people. He said, how will I give you up? How shall I deliver you, Israel? Now, that's not delivering them out of trouble. That's delivering them or turning them over into the hands of their enemies. That's what he's talking about. And see, wasn't that what Satan was wanting with Job?
Yeah.
He was wanting to try to get access to him.
Yeah.
And he said, how shall I make you as Admah? How shall I set you as Zeboam? Those two cities were in the same region as Sodom and Gomorrah. And they got destroyed the same time they did. And the destruction of Sodom, Gomorrah, these cities and others in that area were complete destruction. I mean, they were blasted into dust. There was nothing left. And here God is saying, he sees the judgment and destruction that's about to come on his people. And he's saying, how can I let this happen to you? How can I? He said, my heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. Do you see the heart of God here?
Yes.
That he's saying, but is he the righteous judge or not?
Yes.
Can he bless their rebellion against him?
No.
He can't. Can he just ignore it and say, well, forget about it. You know, it doesn't matter. He can't. He said, how can I deliver you? How can I give you up? The New Living says, my heart's torn within me and my compassion overflows. And he goes on to say, I won't unleash my fierce anger. I won't completely destroy Israel. He just like what he was saying with the enemy in Job. Yeah, but you can't kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see what he said? He didn't want any of the destruction, but what kind of right does he have? Listen to Revelation. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And what else? By the word of their testimony. The Lord needs something from us in these cases, in his judgments. Jesus has already been judged for our sin. But we have to agree with that.
Yes.
And we need to confess what he says over us. Instead of like I portrayed a minute ago with the human judge and his son, acting haughty and say, yeah, I killed him. That's stupid. I said, that's stupid. We have an advocate.
Amen.
Jesus Christ the righteous. And he'll come to you and no matter what you've been accused of, he'll say, listen, I got your back. But only say what I tell you to say.
Yeah.
What do you say? Here you go. Listen real carefully. I'm innocent of all charges. My sins are washed away. I deserve no punishment. I'm forgiven. I'm cleansed. I'm washed. And so when you're pushed, God wants to do everything for you. But when the enemy accuses you, you're the sorriest Christian around. You deserve all this. You go, nope, nope, I'm innocent. How do you plead? I plead the blood. I plead innocent. I'm not guilty. I deserve. And the devil says, oh, you lying rascal. You know what you did. Nope, Nope. I'm clean. I'm forgiven. And that gives God every right to protect you, to keep you. You say, no, I don't deserve any punishment. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so God is able to then, you know, treat us like we had not sinned. And the enemy gets no access to us. Can't touch us. Can't hurt us. And so the curse doesn't touch us, but the blessing stays on us. Everybody said out loud, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law and the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of God's covenant stays on me and everything I put my hand to. Glory, glory, glory. Well, our time's up again, but does this stir you up or not? This stirs me up. Well, come back next time. There'll be a lot more to see about this here in Faith School. Sure enjoyed being with you again this week. I always like to speak over our partners and friends at the end of the week. We've been looking at the curse and the blessing. As you get into this, you'll see the curse included crops failing, herds dying, investments failing, people being able to take advantage of you, take your things away. That's the curse. And that's never God's will and blessing in your life. And as following Him and putting His things first, you and I are supposed to be free from this, and He's showing us how to live free from it. Lord, reveal to every one of our partners and friends any adjustments to all of us, any adjustments to make and changes so that we can live curse-free. No effects of the curse and the enemy stealing and killing and destroying in our life. And show us, Lord, how to experience the full, open windows of heaven blessing in our life, You pouring out goodness onto us until we don't have room to receive it. We thank You for it. I speak blessing and increase over all our partners. Thank You for keeping and sustaining us all. We love You and thank You in Jesus' name. Praise God. I'm expecting this in your life. We'll see you again soon back here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390